This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Brian Koberger's alibi. They had until Wednesday the 17th to file what that is, because the judge said to the last alibi that came in a while back, yeah, that's not really an alibi. You just driving around is not really in an excuse. So what did they come back with? I was driving around. I like to often run and hike and see the moon and stars. So we've added moon and stars to the equation. And they've also said they're going to be bringing in a cell phone tower and radio frequency expert to partially corroborate this account to try and support an alibi. God, is this all they have? I mean, bravo to Ann Taylor again for making everybody go, ooh, maybe they actually have something. They're going to file something. And they basically repeated themselves using slightly different words, and they found an expert witness who's, you know, willing to cash the check that they're going to give him.
I just love the fact that we are right. You know, and I only say that because anytime we're dealing with this case, you don't want to use the word love, because the tragedy surrounding what he did, and I'm going to say what he did, because as of right now, I'm never going to be on the stand for this kind of stuff, because you can't say he's did or didn't.
But sure.
I'm saying, you know, for what he did, mm-hmm. or what we're presuming he did, because his DNA was on the knife sheath that mm-hmm. was left at the crime scene. I love the fact that, you know, what we conjectured would happen for this alibi is exactly what they're attempting. And they're trying to use what we talk about here all the time on the show to prove it. They're trying to establish a behavior arc of Koberger, likened to go out, you know, over a period of time, over his lifespan, is he routinely goes out at late at night by himself to look at the stars, look at the moon, to kind of collect his thoughts. Okay, that's a good behavior arc to go on. And that's what we thought they try to do. Now they're going to bring in an expert witness to show cell phone data and all those things to partially corroborate mm-hmm. that he does do that. And I guarantee they're going to be able to establish a behavior arc, because that's what Ann's doing, you know, defense attorney on this. She is establishing reasonable doubt by saying, hey, here's what Koberger has done through the course of his life, and here's the expert here that says he's done it. So you don't have to just take Koberger's word for it and a few pictures he might have taken here and there, but his cell phone data for a period of time shows that he's done that. That's what they're going to do with partial collaboration. But here's the problem. The night of the murder, his cell phone was turned off. Mm-hmm. And so there's no alibi for the night of the cell phone. Oh, and by the way, the DNA left on the
knife sheath.
I know. I'm trying not to even say, you know, the bloody knife sheath, you know, for respect for the family of the girls and the boy that were murdered. You know, that partial collaboration is not going to hold water against DNA. There's no way.
It just seems really, really weak. I guess why even go with the alibi defense on this? You don't have to. You know, you could go another way, but it's all, well, yes, creating doubt. But does it create doubt, or does it create more evidence of guilt? I mean, okay, if we're going to go down this road and say he goes out for these late night runs and jogs and drives in the middle of the night all the time, well, then why at this night specifically was your cell phone off? And why does it point when it was on to you going directly towards that house? And why do we see you pinging again towards the house the next morning? And why have we seen you basically kind of, you know, going around? It's not technically stalking, but he certainly was in the vicinity quite frequently, according to the other triangulation data. That's what I'm wondering here is, we're going to have one expert, and maybe this is creating the doubt. You're going to have this one expert saying, all this other stuff, but we already do have just physical data that this was part of when they arrested him on that order, where it just states, here's where we saw him, here's how the cell phone triangulates, and it points back to that specific area. So how is someone going to contest that with, he likes nighttime and jogging?
I don't think he can. And you know what's also missing here, Tony? And we were just talking about this on Chad Daybell's case mm-hmm. as well. It just wrenches my heart just even talking about the girls and that were murdered. basically the children that were murdered, mm-hmm. who's standing with them?
Yeah.
Who have communities, hundreds, thousands, parents standing with these girls and their families, you know, saying what happened, you know, saying, going for justice, going for just community. You know, you can see the hearts that are broken here.
Mm-hmm.
Who, not just what. Now, you know, everything we're examining with Koberger and this data is data. There's not one human being that can corroborate his life arc of this.
No.
And so that is part. So you said it a few minutes ago. This is actually not helping at all. And it's not. So if you're trying to establish Koberger as a warm-blooded, not a cold-blooded person that would commit these heinous crimes, mm-hmm. and you're trying to establish him as a warm, compassionate human being that is incapable of these things, who is actually backing that up? Who is actually saying that, oh, yeah, I know Brian really well. He actually goes out really routinely. He shares these photos with me. Like, every time I go out, I tell my wife, hey, here, I'm going out. I'm doing X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
And even if it's not my wife, it's a loving critic. It's someone in your life. I mean, heck, Tony, we do these podcasts together. We know more about each other's lives than anyone in Koberger, mm-hmm. in any part of his life. Except sure. Maybe his dad. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it really does not play well to his defense at all. It doesn't help at all.
Especially when you put together what we do know about his personality and the off-puttingness of the personality and the kind of creepiness of his personality towards women and such. And he's out just driving around at night by himself. I mean, that's just kind of bizarre there, too. I mean, I don't know. It just seems off. I mean, it seems, I don't know that this is going to help them in any way, shape, or form, but they had to put something out there for an alibi, I guess. I'm surprised. I'm not surprised at the same time that this is all they got.
It's sad. Isn't it sad?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about alibis, it's sad, but I think it really emphasizes the point here. This guy is a loner.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
A loner murderer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's and he's painting his own picture, you know, and that's, I mean, this is the best they can do.
Yeah.
This is it. That's not, there's nothing there.
There isn't.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.